Amen. You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Romans, the 12th chapter, the third verse. Tonight, I want to talk about initiating supernatural activity in your life. Notice what I said, initiating. That means you got something to do with it. Let me go further by saying, initiating God's supernatural activity in your life. Because if you don't initiate or start or be the one to cause it to start in your life, then Satan gonna cause some supernatural activity to happen in your life. So in Romans the 12th chapter, the third verse, it says, "For I say," the Apostle Paul is talking, "for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, your identity comes from your faith in God and your responsibility to walk in that faith. Notice what I say, where your identity comes from. Your identity, who you are, how people recognize you, came from your parents. That's how other people recognize you, but that's not who you are. Who you are comes from your faith in God and your responsibility to walk it out. Did you grab that? See, how everybody else perceives you is how they recognize you, which is really none of your business. Who you are, go with me to John, the first chapter. And we'll come back to Romans the 12th. Go to John, the first chapter. I want you to see this. John, the first chapter. And the 12th verse, and we're going to lead into the 13th verse, because the 13th verse is really I want to get to, but the 13th verse don't really make sense without the 12th verse. "But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name," right? Verse 13, "which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So that means your identity does not come from your human heritage or DNA. That's how you got here. Are you seeing this? Your identity, and I'm saying this, I'm repeating this on purpose because it's important. Your identity comes from your faith in God. Or let me say it this way. Your identity comes from your assignment in God and your responsibility to walk it out. You see that? Yeah. See, who you are is based on what God has planned for you. And then you have to take it upon yourself to decide and accept the responsibility to walk it out. That's why the Bible says over four times, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by their assignment. See, it doesn't matter how anybody else recognizes you. It doesn't matter what they think of you. All that matters is what God thinks of you. I need you to see this in the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, this is before Jesus died. God told Moses in Exodus 7:1, he said, watch this. He said, "I'm going to make you look like God to Pharaoh." God said, "I'm going to make you look like God to Pharaoh." It doesn't matter what Pharaoh thought. Because remember now, Pharaoh didn't have a very high respect level for Moses. Because Moses was coming back to Egypt because he had already killed an Egyptian. So Pharaoh didn't have a very high respect level for Moses. But it didn't matter because Moses' identity did not come from what Pharaoh thought. It came from God giving him his assignment, and he accepting the assignment and walking it out. Are you seeing this? So God, we see in Romans 12 and 3 that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God has dealt to you an assignment. See, this is why I got so excited when apostles started teaching us on active faith versus passive faith. Because active faith means I got to get involved. Passive faith stops me at I just believe. Active faith say, not only do I believe, but I'm going to put skin in the game. Yes. So this is why Romans 12 and 3 is so important. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The just shall live by faith. Your faith, your identity comes from your faith in God. That's why people, you know, even in the kingdom or the church world, sometimes you see people have to reinvent themselves. If you got to reinvent yourself, that means you never knew who you was from the beginning. That means you making it up as you go. But if your identity comes from God, which means you understand what he wants you to do, and you accept the responsibility to do it, you ain't gonna have to reinvent yourself. The Apostle Paul didn't reinvent himself. The Apostle Paul got converted from Saul to Paul. He got converted. It wasn't about a reinvented of himself. So people who say they got to go find themselves, what you're really saying is you don't know what God wants you to do. So if you don't know what God wants you to do, then you can't accept the responsibility to walk it out. Now, notice I keep emphasizing your responsibility to walk it out. Because a lot of people just want to get born again and then ink their way into heaven. Limp along, limp into heaven. Struggle down here and just fall over dead into heaven. And you find that there are Christians who are just, listen to me very carefully when I say this. There are Christians in this world system that are just as lost as those not born again. Why? Because their identity is not coming from God and what he's called them to do. It's coming from everything and everybody else. So they accept responsibility to live according to the world standards. That's why you go to verse 2 in Romans 12. And it says what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you don't transform, you're going to conform. So in other words, what Romans 12 and 2 is telling us, if we don't transform by the renewal of our mind, what it means? Take the word of God, meditate. Why are we meditating? Joshua 1 and 8 says why we meditate. So we can prosper, all is written in there, and who gonna do it? See, that's active faith. It's not passive faith, it's active faith. God, Ephesians 1, 17, he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may open up our eyes that we may be enlightened as to what is the hope of what? Of his calling. And what the riches of the saint that he wants to inherit from. Are you seeing this? Yes. See, your identity comes from your faith in God and your responsibility to walk it out. See, you can know what God called you to do, but if you don't want to participate, you're still going to be lost. Because then not Satan really gonna cause you problems. Because he know you know, but you scared to do it. And so he going to put everything in your pathway so you don't get the chance to do it. And the only way you're going to stop him from hindering you is you got to get up and do what God called you to do. Go with me to Matthew's, the 8th chapter. I want to prove what I'm saying. I want to prove what I'm saying because when you understand what God wants from you, it puts you in a position to where you initiate supernatural activity in your life. Matthew's the 8th chapter. Let me turn there real quick. Matthew's the 8th chapter. And the 5th verse. Talk about the centurion. Now watch this. The centurion, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, I need you to understand what the centurion said after this and the importance of this. I need you to see this from an apostolic point of view, not a pastoral point of view. And I'm explaining what I mean by this. He said, watch this. The centurion answered, verse 8, and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, when you read that from a pastoral point of view, we take verse 8 and think that the centurion had to do nothing else. We read that and say, oh, Jesus said he come and heal him. So we read that and we start automatically slumping to passive faith. We automatically drop back down to passive faith. Oh, well, I ain't got to do nothing else. But when you keep reading, you see what the centurion was really talking about, because we're going to see this from an apostolic point of view. Watch what he said. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go and he goeth, and to another come and he cometh, and to my servant do this and he doth it. Now, verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus said, I've never found somebody that have understood faith like this nowhere else in Israel. Now, what did the centurion understand that Jesus said nobody else understood? The centurion say, I'm in authority. When I tell people what to do, they go and do it. And whatever I tell them to do, whatever I was intending them to do and accomplish, it get accomplished because they did what I told them to do. See, a lot of us reading from a pastoral view are dropped back down to passive faith, thinking Jesus is about to speak to the situation and we ain't got to do nothing else. Watch this now, watch this. Because if you read fast, you're going to miss it. Verse 11, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into all the darkness, but shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. So what was his instructions? Go. Do what? Go thy way. So if the centurion would have kept there and said, Jesus, look, I need to do something else. Jesus, you ain't gonna abracadabra this? Come on. His instructions was to go that way and believe why you came to me. So the centurion, understanding authority, understanding how to follow instructions, he followed the instructions. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. And his servant was what? In the self same hour. Now, if the centurion had not gone his way. Did you catch it? Yeah. See, passive faith would have had us thinking that he ain't had to do nothing. Let me go ahead and deal with this before I go to other examples, because I can see some of the looks on your face. See, remember now, we're shifting from a pastoral model to an apostolic model. One of the main things that's going to happen in your life when we switch from a pastoral model to an apostolic model is that you're going to have to accept more responsibility for your life. You're going to accept more responsibility for hearing God for your life. So the reason why the centurion told Jesus, he said, Jesus, you ain't got to come, you ain't got to go nowhere, because Jesus was getting ready to go and do it for him. Jesus was getting ready to go and do it for him. But he said, nah, Jesus, you don't have to do that. All you got to do is speak the word. I know you got the power. I know you just speak the word. In other words, tell me what to do. Because I am a man in authority. I've been under authority. I know when somebody in authority. See, he understood that Jesus had authority over this world system. So whatever Jesus told him to do, he knew the outcome was going to be his servant was going to be healed. He knew that. So he said, Jesus, this is why you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to come to my house because I'm in authority. I'm under authority. When I tell a man go do something, he go and do it and get it accomplished. I know when you tell me what to do, I'm going to go and do it. And I'm going to initiate supernatural activity in my life. Are you seeing this? So that's why Jesus was marveled. Because he finally found somebody that understood that all Jesus got to do is give. Mary gave us the wisest instructions throughout the whole Bible. Whatever he says to you, just imagine if those gentlemen with the water pots would have had passive faith. What if Jesus would have told them, go get the water, and they didn't go get the water? The water would have never turned into wine, and then they were going to blame it on Jesus. See, the centurion, his instructions are very simple. Go thy way and believe why you came to me. All right, let me be seated. Let me go to this. Watch, let me deal with this. Because I got some looking at me saying, well, wait a minute now, you're talking about work. I thought Jesus did it all. No. Jesus paid for it all. He didn't do it all. Because if he did it all, why would he say greater works that you shall do? Watch this. Go with me to, let me deal with this now so I get the looks off your face. Go to Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians, the second chapter. Watch this. Galatians, the second chapter. Verse 16. Now, this is the Apostle Paul really dealing with Peter. Let me set the scenario. Peter, who was an apostle to the Jews. This is why you have to understand. This is why we have to have the culture honor among fivefold. Because God has called, has graced, this is why we have the culture of honor in the church. God has graced us or empowered us to do different things. All right? So what your brother and sister may be empowered to do one thing, you're empowered to do another. That's why we are the body of Christ. There are many members in the body of Christ. Okay? So the apostle Peter was come and spend time with the Apostle Paul. But when he got to where Apostle Paul was, he began to acclimate himself to the culture of the house. But then some other Jews showed up, and then Peter started reverting back to his Jewish ways. Now, here's the issue. Peter was not wrong for doing that. He was wrong for where he did it. See, he was in Paul's house. So when you're in Paul's house, you have to adhere to the culture or the rules of the house, the rules of engagement. So when Peter started acting different, it started causing some of the people that are following Paul to act different. All right? So here's where we are. Here's where we are. So Peter had to be that way because Peter is leading Jews from one way of thinking to another. And in order to get their attention, he had to acclimate to that culture. But you only acclimate to that culture when you're in that culture. When you're in the culture where Gentiles are, they don't know nothing about works. They don't know nothing about the Old Testament. They don't know nothing about the law. So when you go to acting like the law, Paul said, you put my people back in bondage. And that's why he came. That's why he dealt with Peter. He said, Peter, here, you can't do this. Because you're causing my people to go backwards when I've been setting them free. All right. So watch this. So now we understand the scenario, because the law existed just to show the children of Israel where they were doing wrong. They were never going to be able to live up to the law, but they keep trying. But in that, them keep trying, it produced self-righteousness. So go to verse 16. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, they lifted that scripture out of context and made Christians think you ain't got to do nothing. But the Apostle Paul, in this instance, was dealing with self-induced work. Yeah. Work that you initiated yourself to prove to God that you're holy, to prove to God that you're righteous. Your good works, your follow the law, I ain't killing nobody, I ain't lying to nobody, I ain't stealing, I ain't doing none of that. The Apostle Paul said, yeah, that's fine and dandy, but that ain't going to justify you. That ain't going to justify you. So the Apostle Paul was dealing with self-induced work. Now go to James. Self-induced or natural-induced work. Go to James so I can show you the difference. Because this is going to cause you to mature and grow. It's going to cause you to mature and grow, because we have to get out of passive faith. God initiates supernatural activity. He showed us he does in Genesis when he created earth, when he separated light from darkness. He initiated that. So we're made in his image, in his likeness. So that means we have the ability to initiate supernatural activity in our lives. But in order to initiate supernatural activity in our lives, we got to do something. We can't idly stand by and be on the wings of prayer. Because when I go in prayer, I need to come out with answers. I need to come out with instruction. James, the second chapter. James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, he's used as an example. He's not saying if you help somebody poor that you're going to be operating in faith. I'm explaining what he's saying. I'm explaining to you in a few minutes. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it, but don't you think for a moment that you operate in faith because you do that. All right. Watch this.
Yes, sir.
Watch this. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warned and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead being alone. What is James saying here? James is simply saying, if somebody come to you and say they're hungry and naked, and you don't do nothing about it, you tell them, go be filled, go be warm. How they gonna be warm and filled if you ain't done nothing? So if you ain't done nothing, don't come here talking about be filled and be warm. What's the point? You got to do something.
Right.
Don't go telling somebody be warm. Out your mouth, you saying be warm and be filled. And you ain't done nothing. You ain't gave nothing to be filled and you ain't gave nothing to be warm. In other words, you up here talking about I'm believing God, but you ain't doing nothing. The centurion told Jesus, speak the word only. In other words, what he was saying is, give me instructions. Oh, I'm going to prove it to you because some of y'all still looking at me like, you know, Jesus paid for it all. Yeah, Jesus paid for it all, but he ain't do it all. See, that's the issue with the pastoral model and apostolic model of the church. The pastoral model will pacify you and tell you all you got to do is pray and hold on to God's unchanging hand. But the apostolic model said, yeah, hold on to God's unchanging hand and stay there long enough to he tell you what you need to do. Let's keep reading. Verse 18. Yeah, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Other words, the Apostle James is talking about supernatural induced work. What's the difference between natural induced work and supernatural induced work? One comes from you or somebody else on a natural realm. The other comes from God. So now what's the main ingredient is? I got to spend time with God so I can hear his voice. If I don't spend time with God to hear his voice, I'm going to have to make it up as I go. This is why it's important that you spend time with God consistently on a daily basis. The apostle just talked to us Sunday about always having God on your mind. Always having God in your mind so you'll be conscious to his voice. Conscious to his voice when he's talking. Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove or recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you are able to recognize God's will, then you're able to execute God's will. Philippians 2. Watch this in Philippians 2. Watch Philippians 2. Watch this in Philippians 2. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 2, watch this. Philippians 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. Watch what it says. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why, look at verse 14, what it says. Other words, when God, you hear the voice of God to tell you to do something, don't complain. Don't complain. Don't go to being like Moses. Well, God, I can't talk straight. God, I can't do this. How, you want me to go to Pharaoh? How, Pharaoh don't like me? That has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. What did God say do? So he says, it's God that's to work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, in that scripture is telling you are a vessel that God wants to use to express himself in the earth realm. So don't complain when he asks you to do something. So James, so the Apostle Paul, when he talked about works, does not justify, he was talking about natural works. Us doing things and making things up as we go to prove our righteousness. As compared to James, who was saying faith without works is dead. Yeah. Other words, knowing what God wants and not doing it is a waste of time. Yeah. Go with me to Luke's chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke's chapter. because I want to prove this to you a number of times. Now, when I start showing it to you, you're going to go through all of the stories in the Bible, and you're going to see what active faith. You're going to see active faith. Then it's going to cause you to look back on your life and say, okay, God, where have I not heard your voice? That don't mean what God ain't talking to you. God talking to you. God talked to all of his children. But we have to shift out of this pastoral model where we think God only speaks through apostle. So we sitting up here expecting apostle to speak to speak details about our lives. That's not his responsibility. His responsibility is to position us. An apostle structures heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened so all those who are connected can enter in and hear for themselves. All right, Luke the 8th chapter. Luke the 8th chapter. Now see, hearing God, let me deal with this. Hearing God is a learned behavior. Hearing God is a learned behavior. What you mean, Lyra Jean, by the learned behavior? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of a stranger, they won't follow. All right. Now, you got to understand, I need to take time because people are at different places in their Christian walk. Some are more mature than others. Some know things. Some don't know these things. But you got to understand that when Jesus was giving that illustration, he was actually pulling an illustration from that time and that culture. That's why he specifically say, my sheep will hear my voice. Because a shepherd during that time, when a shepherd is building a herd during that time, a shepherd would sleep with the sheep, would spend time with the sheep, would be with the sheep 24/7, giving commands for a while as he building the sheep, so that when he and the sheep go to market and getting amongst all kinds of people and all kinds of crowds and all kinds of distraction, when the shepherd would give the command, the sheep will recognize his voice and not the voice of strangers. That comes from spending time. I don't expect you to hear the voice of God if you don't spend no time. That's why the pastoral model never told you got to spend time so you can hear the voice. Because what happened? In the pastoral model, the fivefold is the central focus. So in the central focus is you got to come to me to find answers. But Jesus said, my sheep, those that follow me. So it came to a point to where the shepherd spent so much time with the sheep that when the shepherd got up to move and give a command, the sheep would hear it and follow. It didn't matter what somebody can come along and give the same command. But if it wasn't the voice of the shepherd that had been spending time with them, they won't move. So hearing the voice of God does not come from decibels. It doesn't come from the loudness of sound or the it comes from spending time and recognition. When you spend time long enough, you can recognize. Samuel, when he learned to hear the voice of God, Eli knew how to help him. He was chilling in the bed, sleep, and he heard somebody call his voice. Because it sounds so much like Eli, he ran to Eli. Eli said, I ain't call you. He went back again. Heard the voice again. He ran back to Eli. Eli said, I ain't called you. The third time, Eli said, I perceive that God is talking to you. So this time, when you hear that voice, say, God, here am I. What do you have me to do? See, what I'm trying to get you to see is spending time with the Father will teach you how to recognize his voice. See, that is important, to be able to recognize his voice, because it's my responsibility to walk out faith. It's my responsibility to walk up my assignment. Now, if I don't know my assignment because I can't hear the voice of God, then I got to depend on the fivefold. And the fivefold on the pastoral model are going to make you hooked on them. Come on now, we got to grow up now. But the fivefold under the apostolic model will tell you, go back. What is God telling you? All right, let me give you an example. How many times, I've experienced, how many times have y'all called a pastor and say, Pastor, I'm dealing with this situation. I'm dealing with this situation. And what do you say? What is God telling you? I've been there. You say, well, what is God telling you? What that mean? That means I got to go back and spend time with God until I'm able to hear the voice of God concerning this situation. So I can get into supernatural induced work. Luke the 8th chapter. Luke the 8th chapter, go to verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, meaning Jesus, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter and they that were with him, said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and says thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people what she had called, for what cause she had to touch him, and how she was immediately healed. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, for... What he said? He said what? So now let's break this down. Let's break this down. He said, be of good comfort, for thy faith has made thee whole. What was Jesus telling her? What was Jesus saying to her? What was Jesus saying to her? All right, let's see what Jesus was telling her. Let's go back and see what Jesus was telling her. Verse 44. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. It stopped. It was dried up. Jesus said, daughter, be of good comfort, for thy faith has made thee whole. Now, what if this lady would have passive faith? What if she'd had passive faith? She'd have been in the crowd just with everybody else. But something told her. Come on now. It got to be the Holy Spirit told her that. You know the devil ain't gonna tell her, go touch him his garment, and she be whole. So you know it had to be the Holy Spirit. But she was able to hear the Holy Spirit, watch this, and go and do. And when she did it, she initiated supernatural activity in her life. There's two examples I gave you that Jesus was just there. See, we think it's a game when in John 19:30. There ain't no game, John 19:30. Matter of fact, you need to commit John 19:30 to your memory. Hide it in your heart. Do we know what it said? John 19:30. It is finished. Watch this. God is so much in control of this system that before Jesus died, it was finished. See, what you must understand is that Jesus was in the midst. When Jesus is in the midst, he didn't have to die for it to be it is finished. Because he was a man who knew no sin. So he wasn't subject to this world system. So when he walked in this world system, he was walking on another level. He was walking on a level. Watch this. The word became flesh and began to walk on a level, demonstrating for us how we're going to walk after he died. So the miracles he was performing before he died was showing us what's supposed to happen to us after he died. So in two cases, the centurion and the woman with the issue of blood, they had to have supernatural work to initiate the supernatural in their life. Speak the word only. Give me instructions. Tell me what to do. Go thy way and believe. Right? And on his way there, his servant was healed. On his way there, the servant was healed. What if he'd have stayed there, kept pleading with Jesus? But Jesus, I understand what you're saying, but I need you to wave your hands and do something. No, the centurion said, I'm a man under authority. When I tell men to go, they go and do what I tell them to do and get the job accomplished. Jesus, I'm telling you, I understand. When you tell me what to do, Jesus, when you tell me what to do, I'm going to go and do it, and we're going to get the outcome we want to get. That's faith. That's active faith. What we go to Exodus 14. What we love to do is we love to take scriptures out of context to fit our lazy narrative. We want to pray and get up off our knees, and that's it. When we don't see that example nowhere in the Bible. Come on, I'm being real. Do we see that anywhere in the Bible? The man was blind. Jesus did what? Spit on the ground, made clay, put it in his eyes, and told him to go do what? Do you realize this man had to find his way? Not sin, find his way. He initiated supernatural activity in his life. This is not what Paul is talking about. Paul is saying if he'd have spit on the ground himself, if that blind man had spit on the ground himself and put it in his own eyes, then go wash, then his eyes wouldn't go open. But simply because it had come out of the mouth of Jesus. See, that's the difference. See, when you do stuff, when you do things and you initiate it and God ain't tell you to, God is not obligated. See, God is not obligated to back up your word. God is only obligated to back up his word. That's why he said, my word will not return unto. His word, or let's make it plain. Let's make it very plain and clear. His instructions will not return unto him void. Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Exodus 14. I'm almost finished. Exodus 14. Watch this. See, we like to take scripture out of context to support our lazy narrative. And so we love to read verse 13. You set this up. Moses and the children of Israel are at the Red Sea. And Pharaoh and his army is coming behind him to come put him back in slavery. Right? And so we see this scenario, and we love to read verse 13 and drop back down to passive faith. Here's what it says. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. So we want to lift that scripture out and drop back into passive faith. But what you must understand is that these group of people had just went borrow. Catch up with me now, catch up. They just went borrow. They got all their stuff from the Egyptians. They packed up all their stuff. And they began to follow Moses out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. Why did they do that? Because God had been sending plagues and kept giving instructions. Moses can't give instructions. Look, y'all, get y'all stuff. Go borrow your stuff. Get your stuff together and let's go. Supernatural induced work. So when they got to the Red Sea, they had already done what God told them to do. So that's why they were able to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Some of y'all won't stand still before you've done nothing. You ain't done nothing. How you gonna stand still? You ain't done nothing. You ain't follow his instructions. You ain't go fill the barrels up with water. You ain't done nothing. You ain't about to see no wine. See, get your mind off of natural work. I'm not talking about your ideas that you come up with that you're gonna do for God. I'm talking about God giving ideas to you, and then you execute the ideas and results come. See, they had followed God's instructions to even get to the Red Sea. So that's why God was able to come and say, Moses told him, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Why? Because you follow God's instructions thus far. It looks like you're about to get trapped. It looks like you're about to go back in bondage. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because you've already done what I told you to do. See, this is why Apostle is pushing us to mature. This is why he's pushing us to hear the voice of God, because he wants you to hear God for yourself so that you can do, so you can initiate supernatural activity in your life. So you can initiate miracles in your life. Miracles don't initiate. Jesus delivered two people without laying hands on nobody. He offered, he said, I will come and heal you. I will come and heal him. He said, Jesus, the security said, no, don't come. Mm-mm, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Oh, I got another one for you. First Kings. Oh, I got, we can go all day. Go to First Kings. I got another one for you. Watch this. 1 Kings 17. See, now you can differentiate between natural induced work and supernatural induced work. There's a difference. The Apostle Paul and Apostle James weren't talking about the same type of work. They're talking about two different works. The Apostle Paul was talking about works to prove yourself righteousness, to prove that you're right. You're doing works to prove your righteousness. The Apostle James was talking about works that you've been instructed to do. Whatever he says to you, do it. Watch this. 1 Kings 17. Now this is a principle that stands time. That when God tells you to do something and you do it, you're going to initiate supernatural activity in your life. In the Old Testament, that's what happened. The reason why they were able to stand still at the Red Sea is because they followed God to the Red Sea. Yes. Are you... God is not opening no Red Sea if you ain't moved to the Red Sea. You ain't dare to walk across. Why would he open it? You're not there for him to walk across. So why would he open the Red Sea for you if you ain't dare to walk across? He opened it because they were there to walk across. They had done what God had called them to do, so therefore he came and opened the Red Sea so they can walk across. They were in the right place doing what they're supposed to do so God could do what he was supposed to do. All right, verse 8. You be seated. Watch this. Verse 8. And the word of the Lord, who? The word of the Lord came unto him, meaning Elijah. He said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold. Did you see that? Did you see that? He said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. See, this is what you must understand about the fivefold. The fivefold are catalysts. Explain to you what a catalyst is. A catalyst is a substance that get involved with another substance that doesn't change the original substance, but cause a change in the other substance. Did you understand what I'm saying? Physical science, chemistry, a catalyst. A catalyst within itself is not going to be changed or altered. Other words, let me explain to you. Elijah was by a brook, had no water in the land. No food, famine. He was by a brook, had all the water he wanted, and the ravens were feeding him. The most greedy bird you can find was feeding him. So the catalyst was fine, eating from the ravens and drinking out of the brook. But God stopped the ravens from coming and stopped the brook from and stopped the water of the brook just so he can get to Zarephath, so that he can be a catalyst to this. But see, watch this now. I need active faith now, active faith. Just because Elijah showed up don't mean nothing was going to happen. Just because he showed up don't mean a miracle was about to take place. Just because he showed up doesn't mean supernatural activity was about to pop off. Doesn't mean that. Watch this. So he arose and went to Sarepta, and when he came to the gate, it's verse 10, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering the two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Y'all about to see what's about to happen. Y'all about to see what happens from the pulpit. You about to see what happens from the pulpit. This happens to us every Sunday from the pulpit. Watch what happened. Verse 13, and Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Other words, he was confirming to her what God had already commanded her to do. Didn't God say, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you? So he asked for water first. She went off. He said, wait a minute. Make me a little cake first. She said, Watch this. This is important. This is where maturity comes in there. She was getting ready to come up with excuses about why she can't do. And Elijah, at that moment, being her man of God, was snatching the fear out of her. Snatching the fear out of her and telling her, go do what God told you to do, and your barrel of meal will not waste. You know what happened at the end, right? You know what happened at the end. It did not happen until she did. What if she would have passive faith? Oh, I believe you're a man of God. Oh, I believe God can provide for me. I believe he can do all these things, but don't go do what God told her to do. And still expect God to do what he said he gonna do. See, what we must understand is God can't do nothing in the earth realm until one of us give him permission. Your faith gives God permission to do things in the earth realm. Your faith gives God permission. Be seated. One more scripture and I'm closing. One more scripture and I'm closing. Go to Matthew, the 11th chapter. I'm closing here. All right, we can go all day. We can go all day with those type examples. Yes, sir. Even the man say, I ain't got nobody to put me in the water. Do you say, take up that bed and walk? You know what he had to do? He had to put forth the effort. He already had instructions. Jesus gave him instructions. So he probably ain't never met Mary and listened. Whatever he said to you, do it. So he said, oh, that's all I got to do? Well, let me take on bed and walk. And what did he say? He received strength. But he, what if he'd have laid down, yeah, Jesus, you told me get on walk, but I ain't got nobody to help me up. Yeah, Jesus, you told me get on walk, but my mind on this water. My mind is waiting on this angel to come trouble this water. Now, Jesus, if you can help me, when the angel comes, stay here with me till the angel come and trouble this water, and I'm going to hear him jump in. Matthew's 11th chapter. Matthew's 11th chapter. Watch this, and I'm closing here. Matthew's 11th chapter. Verse 25. Now, this is very important. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. What he revealed to them? Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, unto your mind. You ain't got to try to figure this out. Come unto me. Spend time with me. Watch what he says in verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus says, my demands are easy and the pressures from my demands are a cakewalk. I know you're dealing with this, but if you just forget this for a moment and come get with me, I'm going to give you an easier way to deal with this. It might not have nothing to do with that. If you just follow my instructions, I'm going to come and deal with that. He said, for my yoke is easy. The pressure that I'm putting on you is light. My instructions to you, all right, water had to be turned into wine. Right? He told him, go fill the barrels of water. That was easy. That's the easy part. The hard part was turning the water into wine. They didn't have to do that. All they had to do was go put water. Right? The woman, all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment. She had to heal herself. His instruction to her was easy. When the Holy Spirit revealed to her, just go touch the hem of his garment. The centurion had the easiest instructions. What he told the centurion, go thy way. Go thy way and believe why you came. That's it. The pressure that Jesus put on the centurion was lighter than the pressure he was feeling thinking about his servant being healed. That's why. So it's easy pattern. All ye that are heavy laden, come unto me. For my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. The instructions I'm going to give to you are going to be very easy for you to do. You focus on the easy part, and I'll take care of the hard part. See, but passive faith want him to do the easy part and the hard part. But the problem is he can't do the hard part until we do the easy part. Because when we do the easy part, we giving him permission to come do the hard part. So he can't do nothing in our lives without us giving him permission. So the Holy Spirit gives us insight and say, I know a cheat sheet. I got a cheat sheet. This is what I need you to do. You do this, and I'm going to do this. Because when you do this, you give him permission to come and do this. See, so no longer are we going to just pray and drop back into passive faith. My identity, who I am, comes from what God has instructed me to do and my responsibility to get it done. It was those gentlemen's responsibility to fill in water pots. It was the centurion's responsibility to go his way. It was, watch this. It was the children of Israel's responsibility to borrow and follow Moses to the Red Sea. If he hadn't followed him to the Red Sea, ain't no sense in opening the Red Sea. Your response, watch this, is up to you to know what God wants from you to do it, and then you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So watch this. Let's have fun with it. The next time you face something, watch this. You full of the word. How I know you full of the word? Because we learned it every Sunday and every Wednesday. So instead of you running to an apostle, get before God. Get before God. And if you don't hear nothing, come to the apostle. That's what the woman in the First Kings did. She heard God, but wasn't sure. But Elijah confirmed it. So sometimes you need an apostle to confirm some things. That's fine. But make sure it's a confirmation. Make sure it's a confirmation. Don't be trying to drop all the weight on him. That's your life. Let me say it. Let me get real. That's your problem. Yeah. That ain't his. Yes, sir. allow yourself to mature. Next time you're into a situation, sit there. God, I'm meditating. I'm going to figure this out. I'm here to give you permission to work in my life. Yes. Tell me what to do, yes, and then I'm going to let you do what you do. Yes. Praise God. You may be seated. Lift your hand if you